has been with us for a few weeks and is headed on his journey up north to work in youth. And he was brought to us by a fairly incredible God circumstance, which was a prophetic word that a pastor down in Wollongong had for our church. And he called Brad up a few Sunday mornings ago, shared the word with Brad. And Ethan just happened to be in the Port Stephens area. So he called up Ethan and said if he would like to come along and see what we were about. And he did. And he's been blessing us ever since. Before I invite him to speak, I just want to pray for him. But I just want to share with you a couple of the things that I've been receiving and learning from Ethan while he's been here. Some of the things that I admire and that have particularly stood out to me thus far is just your incredible love of God's presence and the way that you are so generous with your time and you are so hungry for more of his presence, the way that you linger with him and listen to him and have incredible courage to do as he asks. I really appreciate that heart that you have and the gifts that you bring. And if you spent any amount of time with Ethan, you know that he is incredibly charismatic. He has a beautiful love of the word, an in-depth knowledge of the word, and we're looking forward to receiving that this morning. Yeah, I just invite you to reach out your hands to Ethan, just to welcome him here in this place. Dad, we just bless Ethan. We just acknowledge his deep love for you, for being intimate and vulnerable with you, for soaking and resting in your presence and in your word, for getting to know you more, for living with you, for working for you, for partnering with you, for bravely stepping out with you, for telling people about who you are, for teaching people about who you are, but also for introducing new people to your family. We just thank you for his heart for evangelism and seeing people come to know you. We just thank you for the words that you're about to speak through him. And we just ask that you would help us to receive what it is you're saying to us through those words. Give us clarity and wisdom and discernment. And bless Ethan. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Joe, for praying for me. It's such an honor and a privilege to get to meet you guys, to get to meet Brad and Laura and Joe and everyone who I have met who I've not mentioned by name. As I said, she said before, my name's Ethan. I come from a little suburb down south from Sydney called Como, and I've just moved up to the Port Stephens area from now until early February because I'm going up to Queensland around that time to join an organization known as Youth for Christ. So it's like a missionary organization that reaches young people for Jesus. Just in brief, without taking too much time, it was really awesome coming to be here on Christmas Eve for the Christmas Eve service. Lionel just texted me out of the blue in the morning and said, hey, I just had this crazy dream. In the dream, I heard two phrases that stood out, Madawi and keep the fire burning. If you want to check it out, you can go check it out. And I thought, you know what, looks like God, sounds like God, so I'm going to go. So I came and sure enough, as I'm sitting here, Brad gets up and he shares that word and I got introduced to him. I've had a little bit of time to spend with Brad and afterwards with his lovely wife, Laura. And they are beautiful people. They have such a beautiful heart. And I don't even know what else to say other than I'm so privileged to be with you guys, part of the family, part of the body of Christ. I've been praying for you guys over the past, I think it's been, 3 weeks. I've been praying over you guys because all I want, and all the Father wants of all of us is to be carriers of his heart. And when we carry God's heart, we love, we express love, and we express love for one another. Jesus' one commandment that he said was that you would love one another as I've loved you. He didn't say love the world, even though we're to love the world. But when we know him, it looks like, and when he's inside of us, it looks like loving one another. Now, I have a few things to share with you guys this morning that are on my heart. But firstly, the Lord asked me to share with you my testimony specifically as to how I encountered grace. So I was raised in a Christian household, came to a church very similar looking to this, actually. This reminds me of when I was smaller, was raised coming to church, going to Sunday school. But in my life, I never knew God. I never really knew him. I knew he was real. I had supernatural experiences at about 9 years old that made me think, okay, now I guess that you're real, you're up there. But I never knew the nature of God. Going to church most of my life, and this is not a reflection on, by any means, people, individuals, or everyone as a whole, but going to church most of my life, never got a real strong expression this way from another human being of the love of God that really grabbed me. I remember colouring in, you know, the pictures of little Noah's Ark and the little animals, but I never had like a really marking encounter through another with the love of God. Not through those around me, not through those who I knew in the church, not through friends. It was just kind of, we went there. And I remember after a little while, probably in my teens, the only reason I went for the most part in my teens was because my mate was there and we'd just sneak off and get up to mischief anyway. But I didn't quite know why I was there. And I remember I built a resentment in my heart towards the Lord from about 11 years of age. I said, you know what? I believe you're up there. But I had such a poor view of God. I never had a clear representation of the Father shown to me. All I saw, all I experienced was dead religion. But when I came to that point where I said, you know what? You're real, but you're not good and you don't love me. And so I don't want anything to do with you. Stay away from me, I'll stay away from you. And so I tried everything. As hard as I could, I ran the other way. From age 11 to 16, I ran the other way. I did not want anything to do with God. I ran. I went after the world. I stepped off and I stepped out into darkness. But God was merciful with me. He didn't reach me in the four walls of a church. He reached me on Xbox Live. I met someone who had spoken to me a little bit and God was beginning to remind me of himself and slowly soften my heart over the process of about a year. But at 16 years old, it's 12:30 in the morning, every relationship, friends and families, the girl that I was with, everything burnt, every bridge burnt. Had nothing going on, wasn't working, wasn't studying, had given up on my studies at around year 10. Had nothing, absolutely nothing. I got on my knees in my room at 12:30 in the morning and the heart of what I said was I looked up and I said, I don't even know, when it came around, right down to it, because I didn't know him, I don't even know if you're real, God, but if you are and if you love me and you can forgive me, if you want this life, I don't want it anymore. I realized for 16 years I'd blamed him and I'd blamed everyone else on my own life and I had lived for me. I had been nothing but selfish. And I said, if you want this life, you can have it because I don't want it anymore. And in that moment, I felt the tangible presence of God flood my room. Father God stepped into the room, flooded it, flooded my very being. It was like I got used to wearing a backpack filled with heavy stones and he just pressed the button and it came off. And I knew these three things instinctively that he was speaking to me in that moment. God loves me. He forgives me. He's real. Welcome home. So in that moment, this hunger came in me. I was born again. I was brand new. I had just come back into the family, out of darkness, into light. But all I knew was he's real. He's real, but I don't know who he is. I need to know this God. And so hadn't, like I said, no real relationships around me. Those, God mended those in the future. And I had heaps of time on my hands. So I got my hands on a Bible and I began to read. And I read the scriptures and I read and I read and I read. And my heart was good, but the knowledge was going to my head. So I was reading these scriptures about God, but they weren't transforming my life. Even though there was a transformation initially, because God is good, and I sincerely gave my heart to him on that night. There was no real depth of the knowledge of God. The truth wasn't entering here, it was entering up here. And I had a revelation. I remember where I was. I was going down a certain street. I don't remember the name of the street, but I know what it looks like. And I know I was in the back seat of my mother's car, and it hit me. It was God mercifully showing me where I was at. And I said, I've been a Christian. I've been saved all this time, all these months. And I've read all these scriptures, and I know all this stuff about you. But I don't even know who you are, God, or what you're like. I'm clueless. I need to know you. I need to know you. And it was good. It was a teary moment, but it wasn't despairing. It was full of hope. It was God mercifully coming and giving me a revelation of grace that I want the word to go from here and sink down into here. And so I opened the Bible, and scripture I had read countless times, it was like I was reading it for the very first time. And it was coming alive, and it was filling my heart, and it was beginning to transform me, reshape the way I thought, the way I lived, the way I spoke, the way I acted. And why I'm sharing you this with you, this part of my testimony, it's pertaining to the revelation of grace. So what God showed me in that moment was the revelation of his grace. Because knowledge puffs you up. If you just receive more and more knowledge without the empowering grace of God to transform you, it's of no use and it's of no point, it's of no avail. There was no knowledge of God in my life, and I had been reading his book like a Pharisee. But I didn't know who God was. He implanted in me a hunger for him, a deep hunger for him, where I said, I must know you. Because the reality is, guys, and I'm speaking to every one of you, I'm not here to share with you just a heartwarming story. Oh, that's awesome, Ethan, you've come to the Lord. My desire is for the living God to stir you and convict you and cut you to the core that there is more. It's not about just where I'm at. We can come to church on a Sunday and we can hear what the pastor or the preacher has to say or the guest minister and clap our hands and say that's an awesome message. But what about where you're at with God? You see, when Jesus came back to his hometown, he went to Nazareth. He gets up like he's done every time that he was there on the Sabbath. He'd get up, he'd read, he goes to the book of Isaiah, yep, and he reads probably a passage that many other people, many other rabbis, Jewish teachers had said before. He reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, right? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He walks back down, gives it to the attendant, sits down, and everyone's looking at him. They're like, whoa, did you guys just see that? And he's sitting there, and I could just picture him. You know, they're all around him. He's sitting on the front row, and they're looking at him. There's eyes, in the, you know, piercing into the back of his head. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa, what's he saying? This guy's got gracious words, right? Words of grace coming out of his mouth. They're all testifying, wow, good message, Jesus. That's powerful. You got authority when you speak, man. But then he gets up and he says, or he might not get up, he might just stay in the seat. He says, surely you're going to say this to me. Physician, heal yourself. We've heard about what you're doing over there. Do it over here. But he says, let me tell you this. No prophet is accepted in his own country. There were many widows in Elijah, the prophet Elijah's time. There were many widows in his hometown, Israel. But no prophets accepted in his hometown. He wasn't sent by God there. He was sent to a Gentile woman, someone who wasn't part of God's people, and she received the blessing. Elisha, the next prophet to come. There's many lepers in Israel, but the only one that was cleansed was Naaman the Syrian. What is he saying? These guys are example after example, and I'm the same example. No prophets accepted in their hometown. You will reject me like you will reject them. A second ago, they were like, wow, listen to what this guy has to say. Isn't he amazing? Yeah, isn't that Joseph's kid? Yeah, he's got some cool stuff to say. I can feel that. That's like authority in my heart. When was your heart like burning when he was speaking? But then all of a sudden, he starts correcting and speaking into their life and convicting them. And they go, hold on, is Joseph's son talking about us? I think he's talking about us. Kill him. And so they pulled him out of the city and they tried to throw him off a cliff. Man, if you're a new minister, maybe you were trained up somewhere or you've been called to preach, you get up, you share your first message and it's in your hometown, it's in the church you grew up with, and then they pull you outside and they try to kill you. You might be going, reassessing, man, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? But Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying and they tried to kill him. What am I saying in all this? What I'm saying is God wants to convict your heart. And he's saying this earnestly with love in his heart for you. Please don't come here. Don't come here and let the words that are spoken, the things that God's doing, be all around you and for everyone else except you. God, raise someone up to do the thing and obey, be obedient and do the thing that I'm not willing to. Oh God, would you just send laborers into the harvest field? Everyone but me, God, just use them. But no, God, he wants to use you, but first he wants us to have a revelation of his grace. He's the one who transforms us. So coming back to that moment when I came to the word and it was different, it was beginning to speak to me. I was so full of pride. I remember, as a young Christian, I was getting filled with all this head knowledge and thinking I know God and thinking I know all these things and thinking I'm right. And then people would say stuff that I wouldn't agree with and I'd pretty much fume on the inside. I was so prideful. God humbled me. And who does God give grace to? Sorry, I can't hear you guys. Who does God give grace to? The humble. God gives grace to the humble. And humility, true humility, looks like accepting who the Father is, what he's doing, and what he says about you. False humility, oh God, that's who you are, and I'm just a worm in the dirt. He made you in his image. When you do that, when you talk down the work of art, you slander the artist. It's called false humility. Real humility looks like accepting what he says about you. Do you know the Father dwells inside you? God the Father actually lives in you. In all of us, Jesus said constantly, he said, the Father is in me. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Ephesians 4 says, we have one God and Father of all. He's above all, he's through us all, and he's in us all. God the Father is in you. You know why? Because he wants to be who he is through you. God thinks so highly of you, so highly of you. And even when he addresses things in your heart and corrects you, thank you so much, brother. Thank you. Even when he corrects you and addresses things in your heart, the Bible says it's for your benefit so that you can partake of his holiness. It's grace. He wants to grow us up into him. He wants to mature us because he's an amazing dad. How many of you here this morning believe sincerely that God is a good father? All right, keep your hands up if you believe that. How many of you believe he's a good father to you? Yeah, sincerely, you know in your heart, do you believe that God is a good father to you? Do you believe he's a good father to you? Well, a good father addresses things with their kids. And if God is stirring something in Madawi, and if the place one of the things he's doing is he wants to do something right here with the people of Overflow Church, if he wants to continue a fire, start a fire, increase a fire, if he wants to bring revival to this place, if he wants to ignite this place, he's not going to put fire in the hands of orphans. God is going to place and entrust his work and his will and his empowering grace to sons and daughters. Those who carry the Father, not just theologically have the Spirit of God in them, but those who yield and submit themselves and allow the heart of God to flow through them. He's looking for surrender. Brad preached it, I think it was last week. He's just looking for surrender. And surrender is not a task, a grind, a struggle. Surrender is a joy. When you finally let go, I don't know why I was holding on for so long. It's such a joy. When you get free from you, it's the biggest, glorious, most enjoyable experience of your life. Jesus says, when you lose your life for my sake, you find it, you truly discover what life is like. If you're feeling like life is weighing you down, if it's heavy, if it's a burden, if it's a grind, when your focus is on you, as much as he's an amazing father, I'm just going to say this without the mic, because, and I'll speak loud because I need to give an illustration. As much as the father is good and has things he wants to do in our life, he's a good dad. He does enable us. If the little kid saying, "Mom, I want a lollipop," no, not now, sweetheart. "Mom, I want a lollipop," and she gives him the lollipop and says, "Don't you do this again." She's saying, "Don't do it again," but what she's doing is she's saying, "To do this again because it works." There are things that God wants to do in us. There's things he wants to do in his church. There's things he wants to do in your heart. That as much as he wants to and loves to, the way we respond, where we're at, we tie his hands behind his back. He won't enable us. He wants to empower us. Grace isn't the ability to enable us, church. Grace is the ability to empower us. It's a free gift, but it calls for change. And that's what I experienced when I yielded to the grace of God. That's why the Word of God transformed my life, because grace was meeting faith, it was meeting humility, it was meeting surrender. Who's the Word of God? Who? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Through His Word, when I open this book, how many of you guys, and this is being honest, I'll be the first to put my hand up. Who's ever gotten this book and you've read it and you've read what it says and you know what it says, and in time your knowledge of the Word turns around in you because you go, yeah, you know all that stuff, but it's not your experience. Am I the only one in this church who's experienced that before? Come on, guys, we can be humble and we're family. Who's experienced that? I have. Oh my goodness. And there's still things in my heart where I'm like, Lord, I know the place is just to yield and give myself to you, and you're going to grow me, and this is going to be a joy. But the reality is, sometimes we spend so much time in that book, but we haven't communed with him. We've just read the book. We've gone through the thing. We've done the daily devotion, but it hasn't been with him. And in time, the knowledge turns on us and almost becomes a stumbling block to our conscience, because we go, yeah, but this is my life. This is what the Word of God says. And then we either get frustrated, disheartened, or we try and qualify where we're at. Self-justify. And the Father just wants to sweep all that aside. This morning, he's got the biggest smile on his face over all of you. You know, I know I'm speaking pretty intense, and I'm getting passionate right now. God's passionate, but he's not spanking you. He loves every one of you. He's calling us higher. He's calling us to grace. And the invitation to every single one of you guys is to let him open up your heart and pour into it, because he so loves and adores you. He has so much for you. He has so much for this region. Everyone in here, you know, I am privileged to be family. I'm privileged to be here, but I'm visiting here. Y'all are here together. You live in the same region. You guys are family. He wants to do something with you guys collectively. But he starts with you guys individually. He'll do stuff here, but if your realest expression and your greatest encounter of God is just here, then you will come to church on a Sunday, you'll come to the altar on a Sunday, whatever it is, and you'll be looking for a touch because you don't feel confident to be alone with him elsewhere. We're supposed to be individual little fires, well, not little fires, but individual fires, and then we come together, and when we gather, we're one. One big fire. But it starts with us individually. Holy Spirit, what else? Yeah, and so my encouragement to you guys this morning is, let your heart be open to him. When you simply surrender like this, there's things that I've grown in, and that's what's beautiful about us gathering together and God giving gifts to people, He equips us to equip one another, whether it be the sharing of the word or whether it be the preaching of the gospel, right? He gave gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, these things to equip us to live out the full expression of Jesus, because He's all those things. But when you simply surrender and say yes to the Spirit of God, He will lead you. He will guide you. He'll empower you. There was things where with fear and trembling, I didn't even know what to say except Jesus loves you. But I just knew that God's in me and He wants to love people. And I'd walk up to people and I'd say, it's the first time, one of the first times I remember I walked up to this person at a Red Rooster and I was thinking about it for about 10 minutes. It was the girl at the cash register. And I had nothing to say except I knew God had changed my life and I could share my story. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence, whether it be family, friends, work, partners, whatever. God has given you a gift called people He wants to influence through you. And if nothing else, you can share your story. It's real. What God has done in your life. If you're with Him, if you're with Jesus, you've got something to give them. But I knew was that I was being with Him, but I was still afraid, but I just knew something in me was being provoked. So I went up and all I said with trembling was, excuse me, I just want to tell you, I don't know if you heard this, I just want to say, Jesus loves you. Oh, thank you. That meant so much to me. You'll be amazed. He's such a good dad. When we begin to step out and do things like that and just obey Him, even if I'm afraid, Dad, I'll move past it for you and with you, not alone, but with you. And He'll take me by the hand and show me, wow, that wasn't so bad. Oh, that was kind of easy just loving on that person. Wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. I think I was made to do this. I was created to love. You were created to love. And, you know, we want revival in Madawi. We want revival in this nation. We want Australia for Jesus. This is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. We want Australia for Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I lost my train of thought. We want Australia for Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord. What was I just saying before that? We want Australia for Jesus. We do want Australia for Jesus. But He wants to use us individually. And we think it looks like, wow, and it will. But sometimes it looks like just stepping out in little ways and learning and growing. How many faces can I see here? Is there maybe what, 35, 40 faces in the room? Imagine if every single one of us, just sincerely, the best we knew how was we're growing with the Lord, loved on one person in this area today. That's 40 people who have been loved on. Now imagine doing that once every day throughout your week, right? Monday through Saturday, you probably see it's at least one person. What's that? 40 times 7. Someone help me with maths. 3 times 120. 360. 280. 280 people touched just by these people I'm looking at in 1 week. Multiply that by a month. What's that? That's 800. Somebody help me here. Maths wasn't my best subject. 1,000-ish, right? Just over 1,000 people in 4 weeks. Multiply that by a year. How many people, does anyone know the population of Madawi? 4,000, 11,000 people. Wow. So the Bible, 11,000 people just in your town, right? And God highlighted two things, Madawi and keep the fire burning. In just 11 weeks, assuming we touch every individual in this region, that's a whole region who have had a genuine seed of love sown into them. Maybe you encounter someone you or someone else has seen before. Some people sow, some people water. God gives the increase. That's crazy. I was thinking more there, but that's just grabbed me. 11 weeks. What could God do in this region in a year if we just stepped out? What if you stepped out and loved one person? And then you're like, wow, this is kind of easy. And then you stepped out and loved another person. And then God's showing you, and He's like, wow, I can be confident. God's with me. I can love people. And then you begin to find yourself in a place where you're learning to hear. And God just gives you little impressions. Excuse me, can I just, I don't know why I just keep hearing this, but I just hear like left ankle. Have you got something going on with your left ankle? Well, yeah, it's fused. How do you know that? Well, I'm a Christian. I go to a church just around the corner from here. I love Jesus with all my heart. He's teaching me to love people. And I just heard. I couldn't get away from it. I just saw you in her left ankle. Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'll tell you what. He showed me that because he loves you and he wants to heal it. So can we pray? Oh, but it's fused. He's the Lord. What the Lord reveals, he heals. You'll be amazed what God will do with you. It's relentless. He'll go as far as you'll go with him. You can have as much of him as you want. How much do you want? How much do you want of God? Do we want him? I know that there was a time, even after everything that I've shared, that I wanted God, but there were things in my heart that I was holding on to where I didn't want all of him. Like I did, but I didn't want to let go of this stuff. And when it's like that, really, what has your heart more? It's the stuff, right? Here's a bold prayer to pray. Father, if there's anything in my heart that's not in alignment with your will, expose it and remove it. I've been praying that, and I tell you what, he's been listening. But it's such a joy. Like, I don't think I've experienced more. When I was in the world and I was receiving the highest praise of man, I had nowhere near as much joy as when I was being corrected and even rebuked by the Father. I want him to be able to talk to me any way he wants to. Because I know in my heart, and I know this will get bigger because I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to hold back. I want all of God. That's the cry of his heart, is that we would want him the way that he wants us. How much of God do you want? Because I know in my heart, I don't want to hold anything back. I want all of God. I want to see this nation saved. I want to see people in the kingdom. I want to walk like Jesus walked. And I don't want to limit that through what I thought, through false humility, through things that I was taught. I want to believe what the Word of God says, and I want to follow Jesus. What can my life look like if I'm totally yielded to grace? How far is God willing to take me? If Jesus said, follow me, do you think he's sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, oh my goodness, they thought I was serious, Dad. That would be the cruelest thing if he said, follow me, but we couldn't. What empowers us to follow Jesus? God's empowerment is God's what? His grace. And so I want to hold nothing back from the grace of God. I want to hold nothing back from the grace of God. And so that's what I have to share with you guys this morning. I might call, if that's right, just the worship team, just whatever you guys feel with to flow with. We're just going to worship King Jesus. We're just going to create an atmosphere, welcome an atmosphere really, because he's the atmosphere, just of posturing to him and surrender. And if what I'm sharing, if you're on page with what I'm sharing and that's where your heart is at, awesome. Just let's continue on the track. If what I'm sharing is convicting you and you go before the Lord, you know what? There's things in my heart that he's convicting me of, that he's addressing. I want to grow and I know he loves me. In this space, whatever that looks like, just want you to posture yourself to him and give yourself to him and say, Father, I just lay these things on the altar. I want to be yielded to you and to your hand and to your plan. I don't want to hold anything back. We're going to worship him like that in spirit and truth. Thank you guys so much. I'm just going to quickly pray. Father, I pray that every word that was spoken this morning would go deep into every heart. What you have spoken through me this morning, Father, it would go deep, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone in this room who's kicking against what they're hearing, I pray that you would just relentlessly convict them, pursue them with your love, and just show them who you are and grab them, Lord, until they give up and go, okay, I'm in. If anyone in here would say, I'm not hungry, but I want to be, I pray that you would stir them in that and give them a hunger. If anyone in this room says, I hear all this stuff, but I don't care, I pray you would grip that person and you would grab them and you would put hunger in their heart. Father, thank you for what you're doing in Madawi. I'm privileged to sow this seed into it, and I ask you to bring the increase. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.